We want to turn to the book of Jeremiah today and chapter 14, and we're going to look at the first 10 verses of chapter 14 of Jeremiah. And so we read the first verse here. It says, "The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah concerning the dearth." Now, dearth is a drought. That's a King James word for drought. It was a great drought. And right away, I thought of the drought here in California. And, you know, just the ramifications of that, kind of a wake-up call for us to really turn back to Jesus, because that's what exactly the Lord is predicting here for those that have gotten into idol worship and so forth. So the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah concerning the drought. Judah mourns, and the gates thereof languish. They are black unto the ground, and the city of Jerusalem is gone up. And their nobles have sent their little ones to the waters. And they came to the pits and found no water. No water. Whoa, that's a heavy-duty deal. They returned with their vessels empty. They were ashamed and confounded and covered their heads. Because the ground is chapped, or another translation, parched. It's parched ground. You know, you've seen ground where there used to be water and it's parched and it's cracked and it's dry. And so the ground was parched, for there was no rain in the earth. The plowmen were ashamed and they covered their heads. They would cover their heads when they were ashamed of the situation or of themselves. And doing that. So, no rain, no rain. God has withheld the rain. Now, he has did this several times in the Bible for discipline upon the earth, upon the nations that were not seeking him. Remember with Ahab, the wicked king Ahab. He was the worst king that the northern kingdom ever had. As you read in Haley's Handbook of the Bible about the kings, and it lists all the kings, and it says, well, this guy was bad, and that guy was bad, and then it gets to Ahab, and it says the worst. He was bad. And, of course, he worshipped Baal and other gods, and the Lord withheld rain for 3.5 years and did a miracle with our brother Elijah, that he took him to a brook and actually provided the water for him there, and the ravens would bring him food to eat, and he lived there for a long time. And when the brook dried up, he left there. But, you know, the Lord brought that drought for 3.5 years, and Elijah was told to pray after 3.5 years, and the rain came back and brought rejoicing to the land. But they were under severe discipline because of idol worship. Now, something I remembered when I was read this about no rain, that actually in the kingdom of God, when Jesus comes back to the earth, he will withhold rain from some nations. And he's going to rule with a rod of iron. And I'd like to show you that in the scriptures, because there is a contrast in Zechariah 14 of worshiping the king and not worshiping the king. And it kind of makes it dramatic here for this situation. They had stopped worshiping the king, King Jesus, and they are worshiping other idols. So let's turn to Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 14. And now Zechariah 14 is about the second coming of Jesus to the earth. He will put his foot upon the Mount of Olives, and the Mount of Olives will split in half, and it will form a new valley called the Valley of Judgment, the Valley of Jehoshaphat, where Jesus will divide the sheep from the goats, the sheep on his right hand, the goats on his left hand, and judge the nations, and that will take 45 days, according to Daniel chapter 12, last verse. Talks about the days involved. As he does that, he will then enter Jerusalem and become the king of the whole earth. And so this is where we pick up verse 16 of chapter 14 of Zechariah says this, "And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King. Won't that be some kind of party to go worship King Jesus together with all the nations year to year? The Lord of hosts to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Now the Feast of Tabernacles is the only feast that has not been fulfilled yet and will continue through the 1,000-year reign of Christ from year to year. Because the Feast of Tabernacles is to celebrate that God delivered Israel in the wilderness from living in tents, and that he has brought the ingathering of the church. We have Passover celebrating the death of Jesus as our Passover lamb, and that's been fulfilled. And then there's Pentecost, 50 days later. Pente just means 50. When the Holy Spirit fell upon the church in Acts chapter 2, and the church was born. That's the first fruit of the harvest. And the church has been growing ever since through the years. When Jesus comes and sets up his kingdom, that'll be actually the ingathering. That hasn't happened yet. And so you can see why they celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles all through eternity. Now, you know something really neat about this is every single year when the Jews celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles in actually our September, October location on the calendar, Christians come from all over to join in with them because they all know that this will be going on forever when Jesus comes and sets up his kingdom. It's a very exciting time over there in Israel when that happens. Now, verse 17 is what I wanted to get to you with. It says here, and it shall be that whoso will not come up, there will be those that won't come up of the families of the earth into Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And so we see this discipline of God through the kingdom. And then he uses an example. And I wonder, I can't wait to see whether this really happens, because he uses an example of Egypt. Verse 18. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, that they have no rain, there shall be a plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of the Tabernacles. And so, him fulfilling his role to rule the earth with a rod of iron. And of course, he's our loving, precious Jesus. But just keeping things in order, that kingdom will be a lasting kingdom that begins with the 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth. And then as the new heaven and the new earth is created, he will rule on into eternity. And that is the blessed truth of it. So I wanted to point that out to you. No rain. But if those that come worship the King, there'll be plenty of water for them. And let's take a look now in verses 8 and 9 of the same chapter, chapter 14 of Zechariah, verses 8 and 9. It shall be in that day. Now here's a very important word, that living waters. Now this is, I looked in several translations, and lo and behold, much to my wonderful amazement, they didn't confuse me this time. They all say living waters there. Hallelujah. Let's go with the living waters. Shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them towards the former sea, which is the Mediterranean Sea, and half towards the hinder sea, which is the Dead Sea, because nothing lives in that sea. Everything's dead in the Dead Sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. So when Jesus is ruling from the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, there will be a great gush of water coming out from underneath the temple, going down to the Mediterranean Sea and going down to the Dead Sea, because Jerusalem is set up on a hill and the waters will flow both ways. and this is living water. Everywhere it goes, and this is another scripture, it will bring life. And the Dead Sea and all the desert area that's around the Dead Sea that's just still and dead will become alive. And there will be fish, big honking edible fish in the Dead Sea. And the fishers will be there fishing, throwing their nets in and catching all these great fish. And that's the way it's going to be, because the living waters are coming, the waters that bring life. And so those that come up and worship the King, for we just read that here again, will have lots of water. But those that don't come up, no water. And so this, I believe, is something to watch out for. It's when there's a drought, we should search our hearts and look to God and understand what He might be saying to us. As a state, the state of California sometimes gets into a bad state. And we're seeing that a little bit, aren't we? A lot, really, lately. So God help us. And that was what was going to happen to them. A drought, no rain. Well, I'd like to dwell on this idea of living waters for a little while, because it's so important in the New Testament. There's kind of a double meaning here. The first meaning is the living waters, everywhere they go, they bring life and a wonderful bringing forth of life. But also, Jesus spoke about living water, connecting this verse in Zechariah, living waters, with what He came to bring to you and I. And so let's go ahead and turn to the New Testament, John chapter 4 and verses 13 and 14. And you know where I'm going first is to the woman at the well. And Jesus said to her, verse 13 of John 4, "Whosoever drinks of this water at the well shall thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Oh, glory to God. Now, everywhere the water goes, there's life from the living waters. And not just life here on earth, but forever. It's a forever well that will spring up inside of you and I. And, you know, as we are allowing that well to spring up, others are going to be getting wet with, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And you'll find yourself saying living water things all the time as you're walking with Jesus, as you've been having devotions with Him in the morning, and all of a sudden you're walking along in your life during the day, and something will just pop out, and it will be wet and wonderful because it's something to do about the Lord. And you'll be find yourself mentioning the Lord off the cuff, on the cuff, around the cuff, and under the cuff, and above the cuff, everywhere. It just happens. And you just can rejoice with that, because you have eternal life springing up inside of you. And what a blessing it is to just let it out. "He that waters shall be watered also himself." It's a continual flow as God's water pours down in your heart as you're pouring it out to others. Now, you can seal it up through just being a sourpuss 500 and just going, "I'm going to just hold it in. I'm not going to say anything. I'll keep my mouth shut." And you can get stagnant. Mosquitoes and all kinds of ugly things like polywog pond inside you. But the minute you turn the valve on, you'll be watered from above, and it'll be fresh, exciting, living water. It flows into you and out of you. And it's the most beautiful thing that can happen to you, because you're helping people to get a little further along with their walk with Jesus Christ. It is such a blessing to have that living water going. You know, I have a bunch of t-shirts, thanks to Pastor Steve. Every time he has a retreat, he gets a t-shirt, and the men's retreats too. And so I have tons and tons of t-shirts with all kinds of things about Jesus on them. And so, you know, I make it a point when I go out. And God reminds me, if I put on a different shirt that doesn't have anything on, he says, now, wait a minute, Mark, you're going to walk on the beach right now to pray. Put on one of my shirts. And so I'll put one of my Jesus shirts on. And you would be surprised, and maybe you wouldn't because you've done this, the reactions you get. Now, some people turn their heads away, but you know what? There'll be those that are just so blessed that you're walking along the beach with Jesus Christ, and they rejoice, and they stop, and they start talking about him, and how much they love him, and what church I go to, and where do they fellowship. And it is awesome. And it's just the Lord bringing fresh water out. And it is a wonderful thing that happens. We went on a cruise, our first cruise. I was scared to death because it was the Carnival cruises. We've never gone on a Carnival again. But it was one of those wild and crazy cruises. And the Lord told me to wear my Jesus shirt every day. And so I had this shirt that had 6-inch letters that just say Jesus on the shirt. And so everywhere I went, it helped me to keep my eyes in the right place. I mean, I'm thinking, okay, I have Jesus written across my chest, and I'm not going to be looking or putting my eyes where they shouldn't be, that someone would see me doing that and blaspheme him. And so that was really a helper for me in the cruise to stay like a good boy. And at the same time, it was a great witness. In fact, as we're going to the back of the ship, because we'd set our lounges at the very back of the ship, so we're looking out on the beautiful water instead of being tempted with everybody around in their bikinis. But anyway, this one guy from the bar got up and came over, and he was kind of drunk, but he just said, "You're a Christian," and I said, "I sure am." And he said, "You know, I've been trying to walk with the Lord, and it gets difficult sometimes." And I said, "It really does, but you can get closer to Jesus." And it was so neat. It was a witness and a help for him. So, you know, this living water, Jesus brings it out in such a natural way, and he'll give you ideas on how to do that. And we'll be part then of his team. We're on his team, right? And we're out rounding up people to come to heaven with us. And it's the most glorious thing, is it not? Yes, it is. Praise God. Praise the Lord for living waters. Now, I'd like to go on to chapter 7 of John now, because there's another place that Jesus mentions living waters here in the Gospel of John. And this is in the great day of the feast. Traditionally, the last day of the feast was the great day of the feast, because Josephus tells us that if you've never seen the last day of the feast, when all the rejoicing comes up, when the high priest goes and gets water from near the temple and comes down and pours it out before the people, all of the people go crazy. They absolutely start praising God with all their might. And so, and the joy is unspeakable and full of glory, as Peter would tell us. And so in that last day, that great day of the feast, when all this rejoicing is going up, Jesus stood and cried, "If any man thirst," this is bold, because here's the high priest with the water from the temple area, and all of the people rejoicing of drinking from an Old Testament psalm that says, drinking from the well of salvation. And Jesus pronounces salvation through him right there. Bold, bold thing. He says, "If any man thirst, let him come to me. Let him come to me and drink, because he is the well of salvation. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly, his innermost being, shall flow rivers of living water." And that's what we were just sharing about, you know, with what happens when we water, we're watered. and springs up into everlasting life. And on the way to everlasting life, we're talking and sharing and giving and loving in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. That is why you are alive. It doesn't matter what your job is. On your job, the important part of your job is to be a living, talking, walking Bible for the Lord, to be filled, overflowing with Him. And they'll begin to ask you questions like, how come you're smiling so much? And you can just say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus is my Savior, and He makes my life worth living. I remember it was so neat that Josh and Amy, when they were first married, and they were just getting into the ministry, they're so happy about life, and they went to see my doctor. He's a Jewish Christian, but when I saw my doctor next, he says, man, I had your son and daughter-in-law in here, and they are high on life. They are high on life, and was really impressed with that. And that blessed me to hear that. Blessed me. Because that's just showing that the Jesus water is getting splashed around. Amen? Amen. That's what happens. That's glorious. Okay. Well, now with that, let's go back to Jeremiah, because something takes place after this no rain situation that is actually the result of no rain. And that is the ecosystem. It sure enough is the ecosystem. So here we go, and it says in verse 5 of Jeremiah 14, yes, the doe, the female deer, the doe also calved or had Bambi in the field and forsook Bambi. Why? Because there was no grass. Now, this is very sad. I mean, it switches to sad very fast, doesn't it? There's no grass, so the doe can't get the milk to produce because there's nothing to eat for her, and so had to leave her calf to die. Very sad. And the wild donkeys did stand in the high places. Verse 6, they snuffed up the wind like dragons, or another translation says they panted like jackals, and their eyes did fail because there was no pasture or no grass for them. And so what we see, the result of no rain is no grass, is no pasture, is no seed for the sower, and there's no bread for the eater. And so this is a very sad, sad situation. But as we are worshiping the King, seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, the things that we need, like rain and food, and the things we need are simply added to us, the Bible says, Matthew 6:33. And it's so important. These things are together. These things are together. Let's turn to Isaiah on this. Isaiah chapter 10 and verse Isaiah 55:10. So we go to Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 10. There we go. Isaiah 55:10. Now it says, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven. So we have the snowpack. We have the rain. And then we also have the snowpack that melts and fills up our reservoirs and returns not there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth the bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So we remember the doe and the donkeys are the eaters. Then he switches to his word right there. It's not a mistake. It's something he is comparing and putting together. The ecosystem is so important to our physical life. The water, the rain, the snow melt, bringing forth the foods that we get to eat. And the Word of God is so important to our spiritual life that without that, our life shrivels up. Shrivels up. And it's so good that you're here today to go verse by verse, line upon line in the Bible, because you will leave with living water, blessed in your hearts today from a time in the Word. And I would encourage you to read your Bible every single day. It does not take long. Oh, it really doesn't. Just keep it by your bed. And when there's bad thoughts in your head, which happens all the time, you reach for the Bible and you start reading the Scriptures, getting some living water. Let's read this. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void or empty, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So each one of you is here today, and you've brought some questions, some big problems or medium-sized problems or little problems, and your problems are always different as the years go by, as the weeks go by. So you are a different person now than you were at church last week. And God has a special word for you personally today. Today. To help you. And He will cause it to prosper in your heart and answer questions that sometimes you didn't even know you had. Man, sometimes I think I'm still a teenager because God speaks to me in the morning something that hits the spot, but I didn't know that the spot needed hitting. I mean, it just boom, and you go, yes, Lord. But I didn't even know that was a problem. But God knows you better than you know yourself. That knowledge is too high for you. You cannot attain to it, to know yourself. God knows you. And He knows every word that you speak altogether. I'm just quoting from Psalm 139 now, some verses. And He knows every word before you speak it altogether. And so He knows what you need. And so if we get away from the Word, it's like getting away from having any rain. There'll be no seed for the sower. No grass for the doe. And the baby will die. Kind of thing, it's that heavy. And so, my word that goes forth out of my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Now, verses 12 and 13 are so beautiful because this puts the physical ecosystem together with the spiritual ecosystem right here. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. Man, I want to see that one. And you know, maybe some of you experienced that. I feel I have. Man, and go on a retreat up in the mountains and go outside and you've just ministered some to youth or something and the youth are on fire and they're blessed and you look at the trees and I can hear them singing, man. I don't know if anybody's seen that video on YouTube about the brother that put a thumping star, a star in its rotation makes the thumping sound, boom, 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 boom. And then he found a cluster of stars that make this sound, doo, 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 doo. And then he put a whale song together with it, and then he put Chris Tomlin in there. Oh yeah. Talk about a worship song. And the music in the back was boom, 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 ding, 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 ding. Our God is a great, great God. The whole creation is crying out and worshiping Him. It's as simple as that. And the mountains will break forth and sing. And I love this next one. All the trees of the field shall clap their hands. I would love to see that. This is why Tolkien in The Lord of the Rings has tree beard, right? The tree lives and talks and And just as a really fantastic thing they did on the theater too, at the theater. But the trees will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting, and this is the key word here, I think, sign. An everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. That the ecosystem that we experience and enjoy with our rivers and lakes and snow melts to bring us bread for the seed for the sower and bread for the eater is a sign of what he does spiritually through his word. His word is so necessary for us, and it's so blessed that when we worship the King, we come to worship the King and to hear from him. It is a place of great rain. It's a place of great water. It's a place of living waters that cause us to live and to move and to have our being in him from day to day. Glory to God. Well, we can't leave Isaiah 55 without looking at verse 1 through 3. Let's just read this, and this puts this all together for us. Ho! Everyone that thirsts, come to the waters. He that has no money. I love that part. I've always loved that part. He that has no money. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So he that has no money, come ye, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money on that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, come unto me, talking about his word, hear, and your soul shall live living waters. And I will make an everlasting agreement with you, covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. There were 14 generations from David to the carrying away to Babylon, which we're studying in the book of Jeremiah, and 14 generations from the carrying away to Babylon to Jesus Christ, who brought the sure mercies of David. The sure mercies. They said to him when in the triumphal entry, "Blessed be you, O son of David," because God had made promises to David that your throne shall be established forever. And the fulfillment of that is Jesus Christ, our Savior, who brings us living water that springs up into everlasting life, and that out of my belly shall flow rivers of living water, because he supplies me with water and I give it out and he gives me more. And it's a continual flushing and a beautiful stream of fresh living water. God is so good, is he not? Praise God. Praise God. So good. Well, one more thought today. Let's go back to Jeremiah. Jeremiah and chapter 14 and verses 7 through 10. It says, O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do thou for your name's sake, for our backslidings are many, we have sinned against you. O, the hope of Israel, the Savior thereof in the time of trouble, why should you be as a stranger in the land and as a wayfaring man that turns aside to tarry for a night? In other words, Lord God, you're our Savior. How come you're kind of like somebody that's here and gone tomorrow? That's what it feels like to us. You're here today, gone tomorrow. Why should you be as a man astonished or taken by surprise with all these things that are coming down? Why aren't you here to save us? As a mighty man that cannot save, why are you like that? Yet you, O Lord, are in the midst of us, and we are called by your name. Leave us not. Now, this is where they got it wrong. They see God as leaving them, but they have left him. Let's look at God's answer, verse 10. Thus says the Lord unto his this people, thus have they loved to wander. They have wanderlust, and that's what it is. They lust after other gods, after other things, and they wander away from the Lord. They leave him, and that's what God's saying to them. They have loved to wander. They love to do that. They love to get away. They have not refrained their feet. Therefore, the Lord does not accept them. He will now remember their iniquities and visit their sins. And so the judgment was coming because they had wandered away from him. You know, I'd like to tell you, it's kind of a sad story, but we can pray and seek the Lord. Augie and Tracy got in touch with us this week, and they said that they had come almost by accident because it was kind of a secret ploy that the gays were going to come in to the school that their kids go to. This is the Betsy Ross School on Walnut, and bring the gay message that you could be born a boy, but you're really a girl. Or you can be born a girl, but you're really a boy. Oh, that's so grievous. That flies in the face of God, does it not? God created them male and female. And I want to reverse that. Say, God, I'm not satisfied with what you made me. I'm going to become a girl. Come on. That goes against all common sense. What are they thinking in Sacramento? I mean, I just want to scream and run off into the night, you know. But, you know, I got really mad about this, and I'm sure some of you did too. I mean, you get stinking mad over this. So Tracy and Augie are contacting the church for help on this. What do we do? Our kids can be exposed to this idiocy through the school system. So anyway, on Tuesday, they canceled the thing because there was some parent uprising. And they're letting all the parents know that they can think of that this is actually going to happen. And so on Tuesday, they're having this meeting in the morning, one in the morning, and one at 5 o'clock in the evening to discuss the deal. And thank God there's discussion going on about it now. And so the Augie and Tracy are ready to go and to battle over this thing. And so if you know anyone that attends the Betsy Ross School, parents, grandparents, relatives of any kind, if you could just let them know to try to show up to these meetings and just take a stand for not allowing our children to be so polluted. Man, you know, a few years ago, I think you'd get arrested for this. It's pedophile. It's being a pedophile to me. Oh, you're not really a boy. You're a little girl. Man, that's pedophile talk, man. It just, jeez. Anyway, calm down. Calm down. We need to pray. And let's pray. Let's pray right now. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, Father, there's so many things taking place that are wicked little devices underneath the floorboards to try to pervert what you've created. You're the creator. And you've done it right, Lord. And it doesn't need to be changed. And Father, in Jesus' name, these people, and I want to say poor people, because we do love them and want to see them repent of this, have wandered away from your way, have stopped or never did listen to you. And so, God, bring the wandering ones back, Lord. Help them to not leave you. And please do it before it's too late, before your judgment needs to fall on our nation for such customs and practices. So we thank you, Father. We pray that you would bind Satan in Jesus Christ's holy name, because we battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places that want to pervert your ways. And so, Father, help them to be delivered from their bondage, and help them to please, please keep this horrible teaching away from our children, that need to be raised in the fear and the admonition of you, Lord. And so we thank you, Father. Bless Augie, bless Tracy in their efforts. And Lord, the other parents that will stand up and try to make a point. Please let that point be heard. And please reverse this thing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, let's go on and look at one more scripture this day. Revelation in chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Because this brings to light in the New Testament what we're being taught in Jeremiah in the Old Testament. And so we go to Revelation 2 and verses 4 and 5. Now this is the Lord Jesus speaking to the church at Ephesus, because they had really begun to do what they were doing in Jeremiah, wandering away from the Lord. It says, I have somewhat against thee, because you have left your first love. Now notice who left. It was them. It's always us, or the people that leave the Lord. That move comes from the person, not from the Lord. He is always there waiting. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And so he's always there waiting. You know, Pastor Steve, last service, did the announcements, and he told one of his really good friends just passed away this last week, and he refused to accept Jesus on Monday. I mean, he was just going, no, just, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. So he had wandered. He just didn't want to hear it. Don't want to talk to me about Jesus. Not going to do it. But on Tuesday, just before he died, he changed his tune. And he got saved. Oh, man. Glory to God. So good to get saved before you slip into eternity. Amen. And then he just died right then. So that was a praise report. But, you know, there are folks that are so stubborn. Oh, they're stubborn. And so we just need to pray for them continually. But here the Lord speaks to this church, and he says, look, I've got this against you because you have left your first love. And so he says, remember, therefore, from whence you are fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and will remove your candlestick out of its place, except you repent. Now we're told in Revelation chapter 1, you know, the Bible interprets itself. You don't have to be afraid of Revelation. There's other scriptures that'll tell you what it means. Candlestick means the church itself. It says that these candlesticks are the churches, the seven churches. And so, but God uses the candlestick, what? To make a church burn brightly. And when the love of Christ is in there and we're seeking to really obey his word and go his way, that candlestick will burn brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. But if a church begins to turn away from the precise word of God and begin to teach liberal ideas and excuse every sin, oh man, the candlestick will go out. God will come and take it out. And so do not leave your first love. He's warning us as a church and as individuals, return. And many times we have to return to our first love over and over again because we are waylaid and we are tempted and we need to come back to Jesus, back to the cross. Oh, Lord God, I repent. I ask forgiveness and I pray that you keep the candlestick in our church and in me personally burning brightly, a bright, beautiful light that's set up on a hill, and let our light so shine before men that they might see our good works and glorify the Father who is in heaven. And so there it is. It's the same message in the New Testament. It's the same God in the Old Testament as in the New Testament. And you will find every message and powerful teaching that we receive from Jeremiah in the New Testament also. This is our God, and he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Amen. Well, let's pray together. Let's pray. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for this instruction to remember you, to keep you first in our lives, to always, Lord, have loved the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and might foremost on our minds. And Father, help us to be a blessing, just a blessing of living water all around us, Lord, by your grace and by your mercy. And Father, we do pray that the drought that we had here in California would be completely history. And Lord, that you would help, especially our lawmakers. Oh my Lord, they really need your help. They're so going off the deep end out there. And so God, help them and help them to see your beautiful ways and refrain their feet from wandering away. Thank you, Father. And we love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, may the Lord bless you and keep you. You can come to the prayer room if you need prayer. And if you haven't been saved yet, you need to get saved real quick. Because I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is going to show up really soon. Really soon. And it's right on the horizon. Putin is doing all kinds of crazy stuff right now. That's the president of Russia. And getting together with Iran and Turkey, and they're going to come gobbling down after Israel not too long from now. And that means we are out of here. And so, you know, it won't be long. You need to get saved. Today, you need to get saved. Get into the prayer room, man. Get the good feet of the gospel on. Take off the shoes you need to go down there and burn. You don't want to go there. You want to go up, not down. Right? Right? Okay. God bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise the Lord.